I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Many Americans, our guest this hour, writes, have become fans of House of Cards, including the president, including, I'm sure, many of you. I have one episode to go. I'm just holding off maybe for a week or 2 weeks. Julian Zelizer says it presents a devastating portrait of the nation's capital in which the major players care only about advancing their careers. Public policy and the democratic process are just vehicles for the fulfillment of Kevin Spacey's career ambitions, and he's willing to resort to any tactic, even murder, to achieve his goals. He loves the show, but he says the portrait of politics is extremely skewed, and it neglects the great things that our democratic process and our leaders have produced over time. So this conversation will center on the great things that our democratic process and our leaders have produced over time. And our guest has studied time politically. Julian Zelizer is a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. He wrote this piece for CNN.com, and it is Washington, not exactly a house of cards. We'll ask why a show that stands out for its unblinking commitment to a singularly dark vision of politics is such a hit. And the article goes on to talk about politicians who have risked sacrificing their careers for principle. Julian has penned many presidential biographies: Jimmy Carter, Conservatives in Power, The Reagan Years, The Presidency of George W. Bush. He's written so many books. He's just incredibly prolific. Arsenal of Democracy, The Politics of National Security, from World War II to the War on Terrorism, Governing America, The Revival of Political History. So when you look at the best that our government has produced, the best leaders, the best legislation, what comes to mind? We're welcoming phone calls for him at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@WPR.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're also on Twitter at K Dunn Show. And just a reminder, you probably know by now we are in an important pledge drive, so whatever you can pledge to this program, we would really love to and need to hear from you. Our pledge number is 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. Professor Julian Zelizer, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, have you made it all the way through season two?
Not all the way yet.
No, I haven't either. I have one more to watch. And I want to hold off because I'm mad at myself for having watched all of it. As you know, one after another, I'm thinking, why am I doing this? I should spread this out as we used to do. So because this is so dark a program, why are we so fascinated by this? Does it say something about our time in history?
I think you could make that argument. There are several shows on the air right now, even Homeland. Homeland is another one. That have something of a more cynical view about politics and what goes on in Washington. A House of Cards is it's an extremely entertaining show, but it's a pretty tough depiction of who politicians are. There was one article, I believe, in the New York Times that talked about a moment of kind of post-hope politics, that we're through with 2008. And now we live in a period where there's just not a lot of faith in what politicians do, in what government can do. And this show reflects that period, as do some of the other shows that are on. The West Wing is gone, and now we're looking more at Frank Underwood's of the world.
Right. Would you agree that we are at a singular time that we're not getting very much done in Washington? We do an All Things Political show on Mondays, and I'm amazed, looking at the past 6 months or so, how little legislation there is for us to talk about.
Well, yes, right now there's not a lot getting done. A lot of the big issues are on the side burner, like immigration reform or tax reform, and clearly Congress is stuck on some big issues and thinking more about the midterm elections than legislating, which is predictable. On the other hand, a few years ago now, we had a huge burst of legislation. The Health Care Act, the economic stimulus, financial regulation, which were pretty significant. And I think the reality is we have moments of history where we get a lot done, and then often the rest is much slower and looks a lot more dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm. So what happened after those significant pieces of legislation passed?
Well, first, the politics shifts from passing new things to making those things work or not work. So I think a lot of the legislative debate turned to that. We've seen that in healthcare with Republicans trying to, put up roadblocks to the program working, and Democrats desperately focusing on selling the program and fixing those parts of the program that don't work. And then, you know, programs like that, which are big, cause a lot of political tension and fallout. And so when you want to move to something new, it's much harder. I think that was President Obama's window. That was the window for the Democrats. And so you turn to battles over implementation, you turn to battles over smaller things, and you turn to the next election. And I think that's the kind of period that we are in, and people think much less of politicians when they're engaged in those moments.
Mm-hmm. You write in this CNN piece, "Not everyone is as despicable as Frank Underwood. American politics is also filled with examples of great leaders." Who were those great leaders, Julian?
Well, there's many. Certainly, if we look at the White House, liberals would argue that, and many conservatives even, that Franklin Roosevelt was a significant and great leader. Whether you love what he did or hate what he did, I think many Americans would agree that he was a very effective president who responded to the great crisis of his time. First, the Great Depression, and then the war against fascism. Mm-hmm. And with domestic legislation that he was able to move through Congress and the mobilization for World War II, he, you know, put together a pretty impressive and substantial record that still influences us today. And I think for many conservatives, they would point to Ronald Reagan, and liberals as well, as someone who in the 1980s understood the pulse of the nation, who responded to some of the turmoil of the 1970s with a new, more conservative vision about where the country could go. And just those two presidents, if that's where we're focusing, I think offer examples for many Americans of what leaders can emerge in our system.
How about great leaders who have been able to withstand the rough and tumble of politics and maybe even risk the loss of reelection because they're standing for strong principles that they hold near and dear?
Well, Lyndon Johnson did that. And Lyndon Johnson made many mistakes as president, and it's hard to argue that Vietnam was not a mistake. But he also took a lot of big risks with domestic legislation. He put his name behind initiatives that were highly controversial, from voting rights to open housing laws to his education programs, all programs he knew and thought were important for the country, but he also understood would cause horrible political turmoil once they were put into place. The famous story of Lyndon Johnson is after signing the Civil Rights Act of 1964, that night, Bill Moyers finds him sitting alone in his bedroom looking forlorn, and Moyers asks him, "Why are you so sad? We just got through the most important civil rights bill of the 20th century, if not all of American history," and Johnson's response is that he just gave away the South to the Republican Party. Hmm. So he is an example both of leaders willing to take great risks to themselves to do what is necessary, and also how politicians who can be as ruthless as Frank Underwood can often put that ruthlessness toward achieving bigger objectives beyond themselves. And so it's not always just about the career. It's about advancing careers and power, but with objectives in mind. And mm-hmm. I think Johnson's a nice contrast to Frank Underwood, even though their methods, you know, short of murder, we're often the same.
I think, though, isn't there a picture of LBJ towering over some legislator who's cowed by him in Frank Underwood's office?
There's tons of those pictures. Yes, yeah. That was the treatment. That's how Lyndon Johnson tried to lobby people. He'd get in their face. He'd control them. He'd threaten them. He would, warn he will ruin their careers. but again, it was what the show doesn't cover as much. It wasn't simply about Lyndon Johnson and his thirst for power. It was also about the policies he hoped to put into place.
Julian Zelizer is our guest this hour, and we're talking about great leaders in American history. Many of you, I'm sure, have watched some of House of Cards, it's hard not to become somewhat addicted to the program, even though it is very dark. And it says something about our time that we're obsessed with the darkness of this show. Julian says American politics is also filled with examples of great leaders. Not everybody is as despicable as Frank Underwood is. So we're talking about some of those great leaders and also talking about why it is at this point in history we are in love with House of Cards. Join us for our on-air conversation. We'd love to hear from you. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. This is also our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. And John Munson, one of my favorite people in this organization, is with us in our studios. And we are here to ask you to invest just a few minutes of your time to support what you hear every single day. It's your future WPR listening. Make your gift right now. It's very easy. You go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, good afternoon, Kathleen.
Hi, John.
It's always a pleasure to be here in Milwaukee with you. Hey, and it's a pleasure to announce that we had 22 pledges last hour, a great hour for Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you for those of you who made those pledges. And, Kathleen, you've got some even better news for this hour.
Well, I do. This is one of the hours that is a really big deal because right now we have a dollar-for-dollar match, and it's up to $3,200. The generous match is from Dee and Bob Vetter from Oregon, Wisconsin. Thank you, Dee and Bob, and also another anonymous donor. It means, you get the picture here, they're going to match every dollar that you give. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, get your pledge doubled right now. That's how this works. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, I like to think of as democracy on the radio. We hear from you about the important issues of the day. We talk about them together. We share information. We ask questions.
Well, and because you benefit from this community, we all benefit from this community, we're asking you to help pay for it this afternoon. Your support, very important piece of what makes the Ideas Network possible. Be part of this great tradition with your gift, WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
It's pretty easy to give to WPR. We just need your name, contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay.
Well, save time, save some money, use a credit card if you can, make a one-time gift, or better yet, start automatic, sustaining donations directly from your bank account. And here's the thing. You get to make the choices at every stage of this thing. You choose how to give, well, then do it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We joined Wisconsin Public Radio probably in the first month that we lived in Madison, about 11 years ago. Just part of the process of settling in a new town is finding public radio and starting to listen and then joining. We didn't become sustainers until last year, and it made sense. It was easy to do, it's convenient for me, and it really makes me feel better to know that WPR can get our financial support every month. It just seems like a much easier way. You listen, so you obviously like the station. Because you enjoy it so much, you have to remember that while radio waves are free, producing those radio shows is not free. Even as little as $10 or $15 a year makes a difference, but $10 or $15 a month is something that most of us could afford. You know, it's what, three or four Starbucks? I'm Michelle from Madison, Wisconsin. I hope you'll join me in being a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And there are many, many ways for you to say, for us to say, to make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. We can say, stand up and be counted, make your voice heard, support what you love. You do all of those things, and you really make a difference when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Kathleen, we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
Please remember that dollar for dollar match. from Dee and Bob Vetter from Oregon, Wisconsin. It's a good deal. Your gift of 50 turns into 100, 100 into 200. Take advantage of this match. It's great, and it makes your gift go even further in paying for WPR programs. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Kathleen, WPR is one of those things that it's really easy to take for granted. Well, we're asking you to not take it for granted. You tune into WPR every time you hear something good.
If you travel around the country, we've heard this, John, from so many people, you do realize what a gem we have right here in Wisconsin. So many people say that. You're proud of WPR, and we are too, and because you make it possible, we can all be proud, and we'll be even prouder at the end of this pledge drive with your support.
Yay, us! So don't take it all for granted. It's something special. Help make it possible. Your pledge right now can do that. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
New members are an important part of the drives. Every single member makes a difference. So whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or week, you're getting value from what you hear. If you've never given before, you may want to start off with a pledge of $5 a month, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Stand up and be counted. Make your voice heard. Support what you love. Well, those are all ways to say make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can do all of those things, and you can make a difference. You know, a lot of times we think, Kathleen, gosh, I just can't make a difference no matter what I do. Well, here's a way. I guarantee that you will make a difference when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Making a difference. That's why we're here. It really is. That's why we're here. And we have a dollar-for-dollar match. In effect, these don't happen all the time. It's a really good deal, up to $3,200. So those generous donors will match what you give, up to that amount of money. So please give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
But wait, there's more.
Really?
That's right. Ask for your new, not the used, ask for your new WPR logo T-shirt with your pledge of $120 or more. That's 10 bucks a month. Every time you wear it, people are going to know you made a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Make it right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And those are nice-looking T-shirts
as well. Oh, they're beautiful.
They're very nice.
I love mine.
You love yours?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Good. All right, well, you can love yours, too.
And
I
got a black one. It's very slimming.
They are? You can get them in different colors?
Oh, it's black and white. Yeah.
Well, you can get them in black or white.
My two favorite colors. Easy to match. Don't have to worry about my socks.
You're a funny guy, John.
888-202-2552, WPR.org.
And thank you.
Thank you very
much. Yeah, thanks everybody so much. Professor Julian Zelizer is our guest this hour, and we're talking about great American leadership, the presidents who have been particularly effective and great, and those who have, risked maybe even not being reelected because of their principles. It's harder to come up with a list of people like that, I think. We have some phone calls coming in, 800-486-8655 is our number. And let's go to Wayne in Holman. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Kathleen and Julian. It's nice to speak to both of you.
Nice to speak with you, Wayne.
This is a great show. Just a caveat to my main point. I think also both of you would want to throw in George Washington and Abe Lincoln as great presidents.
Oh, yes, sir.
I know your fondness for Abe Lincoln, Kathleen.
Yes, I have a huge fondness.
I think it's I really appreciate your points of view regarding him. But to my main point, Julian, wouldn't you agree that without Republican support in the 60s, there would have been no civil rights legislation? I think they were really helping Lyndon Baines Johnson get this legislation through, I believe much to the chagrin of some of the segregationist Democrats. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. In the House of Representatives, there were Republicans like William McCulloch of Ohio, and in the Senate, Everett Dirksen from Illinois, who were instrumental. Without McCulloch, the bill probably wouldn't have gotten through the House Judiciary Committee. Without Everett Dirksen, they would never have ended the filibuster against civil rights. And the issue in the 1960s was that Southern Democrats were a major power within the Democratic Party. And so Johnson, the Democratic leaders, the civil rights movement needed the GOP. And they obtained support for a few years to get both civil rights and voting rights through the Congress.
Thank you, Wayne, very much for your call. And we can't underestimate, I just finished a book on George Washington. I haven't spent as much time on him as on Abraham Lincoln. But George Washington was a very smart and very important person to have as our first president, wasn't he?
Absolutely. And what he is, he's famous for many things, but one is voluntarily relinquishing power. And in this period in American history, there's uncertainty about what the country will look like. Will we literally and actually be able to move beyond a monarchical kind of government? And his decision to stick and implement a democratic process and step down was extraordinarily important. So he is a very significant figure and yet another example, as we've been discussing, of leaders who were able to achieve big things.
Matt in Sparta is next. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. So as far as effective presidents, my personal favorite is Ronald Reagan. But my main point is, as far as corruption in government, I think without term limits for our legislators, it's going to get worse. Obviously, House of Cards is very dramatic. I don't think things are nearly that bad on Capitol Hill. However, without term limits, our legislators start treating their positions as careers. And in your career, don't you want raises? You know, don't you want to promote yourself? So I think term limits are very important. I'm curious your guess.
All right, and
perspective
Matt,
on that.
Matt, let me ask you, why is Reagan your favorite?
I just agree with the social policies. I feel that the economy when he was president was strong.
Mm-hmm.
And not all the social policies, but some.
Okay. Professor Zelizer.
The term limits issue is very interesting. There's always been calls for this. Often there are also many opponents and not simply the people who have power, and it actually gets to the question we've been discussing. The problem with term limits is that you're constantly cycling through new members of Congress, and part of the way in which you get legislators who know how to lead, who have a sense of how the institution works, is over time. There is a certain amount of expertise, as in any other job, that requires being there for more than 2 years. And the problem with term limits is that you won't get that. And many of the legislators that have been mentioned in the past half hour, such as Everett Dirksen, were effective because they had been in Congress so long, they really had a great sense of how the place worked, how to make things move, even when it was as dysfunctional as it is today. So I would kind of push back a little on the term limits, and certainly many others have, realizing that you might actually take away one of the things people will need to have this institution work again.
So what about now, Julian, when you think of great, effective legislators now in Congress, who comes to mind?
Well, I think certainly for liberals, one is retiring this year, Henry Waxman.
Mm-hmm.
He came in as a Watergate baby in 1974, and he's proven to be someone who's very effective, not simply at promoting issues and using his rhetoric to get things done, but to actually getting legislation, building coalitions behind issues like the environment. And I think he ends his career, even for those who opposed him, as someone who is an example of what a member of Congress can do in this day and age.
Let's go next to let's give the phone number again, 800-486-8655. Julian Zelizer is our guest this hour, and we're talking about great American leaders. He's been watching House of Cards, as many of us have, and it, of course, presents a really dark look at what goes on in Washington. Our guest yesterday said it's pretty true, except for the murder, which was disheartening. Julian says there have been many times, if you look at American history, there are all kinds of examples of great leaders, and not everybody is as dark and devious and murderous as Frank Underwood. So who comes to mind when you think of that great leadership? We're having an uplifting show about that this hour of the show. 800-486-8655. Willem in Colfax is next. Hi, Willem.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say something about Ronald Reagan. At the time that he was elected, I remember thinking that it was going to be a bad thing for America and for the working people and things like that. He attacked the unions. The economy was built on this huge military buildup with Star Wars and all that sort of spending the Russians into oblivion. And real wages have been stagnant since then. Even the new Pope has discredited the trickle-down economic theory. So I don't understand why Reagan ranks so high. Like, I prefer of the Republicans Teddy Roosevelt, who, you know, stood up to huge corporate wealth and interest and made the national parks. And, you know, what would we be like without the national parks?
Professor?
Well, I think there's two different issues. I mean, one issue is whether you like a president, what they did or don't. Ronald Reagan is a very polarizing president, even though today he's remembered with a kind of nostalgia of being part of a go-along and get-along period. He pushed very hard for very conservative programs and ideas. He severely reduced our progressive tax system. He went very hard against unions and pushed deregulations. All of that is true, and so he's going to naturally have people who don't say he did the right thing. The difference, though, with some of the popular depictions of politics that we see today, like a House of Cards, is that without question, Reagan stood for some big ideas, and he spent his career both in the White House and before trying to push for policies and programs and to shape the conversation about politics in a particular direction. And he, more than many others, did this, more than many other presidents. And I think that's why people still talk a lot about him and investigate the 1980s to understand what went on. And I think that's the kind of politician that we do need. And that's often the kind of politician that doesn't find much space in our popular culture.
Mm. Thank you, Willem, for your call. We have lines open if you'd like to join the conversation. The question for you, the audience, is when you think of great American leaders who are quite the opposite of somebody like Frank Underwood, who comes to mind? And our guest has studied many of those leaders and written some wonderful books about them and writes continuously and speaks about public affairs. Julian Zelizer is a frequent guest of ours. He's a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University and wrote a piece for CNN.com, which we post on our Facebook page. Washington, not exactly a house of cards. You mentioned Eisenhower. It seems to me as though his star may be rising at some point, if not this year, then maybe next. You talk about him as a leader who worked hard to calm the tension of the Cold War. Do we overlook Eisenhower?
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting president in that in the 1950s, and when he leaves office, he's enormously popular. People think very highly of him. He has skyrocketing approval rates, and this is after the end of two terms, not just in his first few years. But then, you know, over time, he was a president who attracted much less interest. Many, you know, historians and citizens who don't write history thought of him either as a Democrat light, a Republican who just accepted what was in place, or a nice guy who didn't really achieve much. But lately we've had a real revival of interest in him as a leader. Evan Thomas, a journalist, former writer for Newsweek, wrote a really interesting book about how Eisenhower privately pushed back against hawks in the military and his administration who wanted to, you know, be much more aggressive with the Cold War. He fought to lower the defense budget. Hard to imagine today. He went against the Democrats in Congress saying we spend too much on defense. And he just tried to tone down and calm down all the passions of the Cold War. And so I think he's a president who today is receiving a lot of interest, in particular for those decisions he made on the Cold War.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think of Chuck Hagel's announcement concerning our defense budget?
That's a big big announcement.
It is.
And if it goes through, we have to see. We're talking about a defense budget that brings us back to before World War II. So it would require a lot of changes within the military, streamlining, budget cuts. And again, we have to see what happens, but it's a pretty a bold statement that came out this week that would lead to a real reconfiguration of what kinds of military operations we could undertake, and it would probably put off the table for now, you know, big nation building operations that we've been doing in the past few years.
It is amazing when you look at how we compare with other countries, Professor Zelizer. We spend so much money. You look at China and so many other countries combined, they don't even equal what we spend on the military.
You know, that was actually Eisenhower's argument. Eisenhower, military hero and someone loved by the defense establishment, said we spend too much money, and we also spend money on the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of the spending, he argued, was because contractors had the ear of legislators. He famously said in his farewell address that we had to be careful about the military-industrial complex that we had created. And so he argued that cutting the budget could actually have salutary effects on our defense policy because we would spend it better, we would be more efficient, and we'd actually put money into the right kinds of operations and the right kinds of missions. And so that's a very different way to think about what budget cuts might produce within our military.
Julian Zolzer is our guest. We have yet to talk about the effectiveness of Abraham Lincoln, and we will do that. We're talking this hour about great American leadership, and if we're seeing any of it now, if not, where have we seen it in the past? And we're welcoming phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Women's sports leagues are struggling to get media exposure in this country. Veronica Rickard and Rob Ferret will speak with a sports journalist about what's being done to change that. And then in Teach Me What You Know, they'll learn the process of writing a novel from conception to publication. That's Central Time from 3 until 6 today. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. It's a chance for you to show support for all of the programs that you listen to throughout the year. So please make that important step when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in case you just dropped in, here's another news bulletin. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,200 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because for every dollar you give, Dee and Bob Vetter from Oregon, Wisconsin, and other anonymous donors will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So, double the impact. This is a twofer, a BOGO, if you want. You can make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You might have found yourself hovering near the radio, drawn into a really interesting discussion yesterday, the future of the mind. I took that conversation home to my family, and we were talking about the future of the mind and computers in the room, and it was just, it was so interesting. You need to get somewhere, but the discussion is interesting, so you need to listen, and then you talk about it at some point during the rest of the day or the week. You like the guest's knowledge, the caller's questions and views. If it's happened to you, make your pledge of support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, here's another way to think of it. You know, we pay, I hardly write any checks anymore. I don't know about you.
I mean, I like to write checks.
I pay my bills online
do
and whatever
you?
I can come out automatically so I don't have to worry about that I miss that date. You know, I'm not late on payments. Well, you pay your bills online. Well, I bet you don't miss all the extra paper and envelopes floating around the house. I know I sure don't. Not to mention what you save on postage and checks. I mean, other than Kathleen.
I'm just old school, I guess. You can support WPR in the same streamlined way that John does by becoming a sustainer. You choose a monthly amount that works for you. It might be, $10, $20, and you set it to come out of your credit card or your bank account. It will roll over each year, so your support of WPR will always be current. Easy to do, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I just find it comprehensive and a good mix of news from around the world and local news, the news about the things and the people that I know. I think that Wisconsin Public Radio is one of the most special things about this very special state. I'm Ann Katz, Wisconsin Public Radio Association board member from Madison. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news, knowledge, connections, and community.
Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this winter membership drive. Your gift, $10, $15 a month, or whatever amount you choose is the right amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from Dee and Bob Vetter from Oregon, Wisconsin, and another anonymous donor. That means that your gift of $50 turns into $100. $100 turns into $200. Well, it's just like magic. Take advantage of this match right now and make your gift go even further in paying for WPR programs like the Kathleen Dunn Show. Get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Yeah, it's a great hour to pledge because
wow.
of that.
That's amazing.
It challenge. I love these
yeah.
hours because you think you can, you know, you get there, and we're about halfway there
yeah.
right now, John. So
and we got time.
We got time.
This is going well.
All right. Good. Good. I'm glad it is going well. Pledge WPR.org 888-202-2552. And we thank you for your support of WPR. John will be with me again in just a moment. Julian Zelizer is our guest, and we're looking at great American leaders and our fascination with House of Cards. I haven't heard from any House of Cards fans, and I would imagine there are a few of you out there. Why are we and you so absorbed in what's really a dark and cynical look at American politics? Our number for on-air participation is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. When I look at certain presidents, Professor Zelizer, Washington is one, certainly FDR is another, and Lincoln another, the times in which they had to govern strike me as just incredibly tumultuous, significant, extraordinary. To be president, to be a leader in those times, what a job you had.
Absolutely. It's extraordinarily difficult with Lincoln, obviously governing as the nation is at war with itself, brutal conflict taking place here, in addition to needing to resolve the ultimate issue of slavery and the heart of the Southern economy. And you know, people have been fascinated with Lincoln. There's tons of biographies about him, in part not just because of who he is, but this question of how do leaders like that govern in such tumultuous times. Similarly with FDR, when you see the depths of depression in 1932 and 1933, it's simply astounding how he kind of maneuvers through all the politics of Washington and figures out what ideas might work to help the nation govern again. And many would argue both the same with recent presidents between 9/11 and the financial crisis of 2008. Both of our most recent presidents have had to govern through extraordinarily difficult times. Mm.
So what is it that we can do now as just people who are participants and who live in this great democracy? If we wanted to have somebody rise to the occasion and address some of the important issues, underemployment, inequality, immigration, there are a whole host of issues that nothing's going anywhere on it. How does great leadership evolve, and what can we do to help bring it about?
I think great leaders often are responding to the social pressure they see or don't see. So back to Lyndon Johnson and to a certain extent John F. Kennedy, you know, they finally tackle the great question of civil rights in the way that they will. Johnson in 1964, in large part because the civil rights movement, the grassroots movement of ordinary Americans, make the issue something that is central and refuse to allow presidents and legislators to ignore it anymore. So an earlier caller talked about the importance of Republicans to passing the Civil Rights Act of 1964, but even more important are the millions of ordinary Americans who put their life on the line to make sure that segregation and the negation of voting rights would not continue. So I think in this day and age, you know, the heart of the democracy is not the leaders, it's the voters and it's the activists. And I think until people are putting pressure, real pressure on politicians, either on election day or days outside election day, to change course, it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Great leaders need to be motivated.
Let's go to Ed in Pigeon Lake next. Hi, Ed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call,
sure.
Kathleen, and thanks for the information from your guest. I agree with everything you said about Washington, Lincoln. Teddy Roosevelt really is my all-time favorite. But I think we've failed to think about Harry Truman making the decision to drop the atomic bomb. I know my father-in-law was in the military at that time and on a ship headed for the invasion in Japan, and I don't think I would have ever met my wife if Truman hadn't made that decision. And then just a second point is my favorite today in my favorite leader in America is Bernie Sanders, the independent from the Northeast, simply because he's an independent, because correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was Khrushchev who very sarcastically said about the U.S., one more party makes you a democracy. And I'll take the answers off.
Okay,
the
Ed. All right, thanks. Let's go to Truman first.
Well, Truman is a controversial figure, so yeah. The moment just mentioned is one. This is how interpretation matters. For some, that is a great moment of leadership. It's a moment that some argue saved a lot of American lives and really brought an end to the conflict. And for others, it was a terrible mistake. It's the opposite interpretation of Truman, that he did something that was unnecessary and unleashed, you know, a dangerous era in global history. And so Truman, like Lyndon Johnson, is one of those figures who people develop very strong and passionate feelings about. And that decision in particular with Truman is one that I think will never be resolved, and we're going to continue to debate for forever.
Have you done a book on him?
Not on Harry Truman, no.
Would you want to?
Yeah, he's interesting. I mean, there are some good books on him. David McCullough wrote a book on him, but he's a, you know, he's a fascinating figure in the transition away from Franklin Roosevelt and out of World War II. He was quite pivotal to our Cold War policies that we adopt, and even to some of the debates over domestic policy that, like the Taft-Hartley Act, that remain very important today.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think of independent voices like Bernie Sanders?
Well, they're very important. I think we have a long tradition of this. There was a legislator, senator named Wayne Morris in the 1940s and 50s who was very independent, changes parties, you know, doesn't like to vote party line. And I think they're an important part of the legislative mix. They're rarely the leaders themselves, but their vote often counts a lot. And they also, in terms of the debate, add a kind of argument that's often missing from party leaders who gradually tend to stick to the party line. So Sanders is a great example. Others, you know, love Paul, Congressman Paul, for having reflected that kind of independence. I think there's always a thirst for that. There's a sense that, you know, they create something important in the mix that changes the debate a little and gets out of the Washington status quo.
Yeah, Professor Zelizer, always a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Professor Julian Zelizer, public affairs professor of history at Princeton University. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
Wisconsin Public Radio's audio archive is an endless stream of knowledge and entertainment. Find what you're looking for or discover something new. Start listening now at WPR.org.
Coming up, hour two of our program today, Daniel Golden will be with us. We are going to talk about the books that we need to read while we are alive. I've picked five of the most important books in my life. There are, of course, hundreds of them, but I wasn't hard-pressed to come up with five, but I have five. Daniel and his staff are going to have five. KP is adding a book. I've asked John to add a book, and we're asking you, too. So that's coming up the second hour of our program today. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and we are in our winter public radio membership drive here for WPR, and we're here to raise the money to pay for the programs that you enjoy, like this one. So give us your support WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Well, and here's an update. We still have that dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,200 in effect right now. Still plenty of headroom there, so it's a great time to pledge because every dollar you give, Dee and Bob Vetter from Oregon and another anonymous donor will donate an additional dollar. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So, double the impact of your pledge right now. Buy one, get one free.
Righto.
It's a BOGO. Give to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you, Dee and Bob. You inspire me. That's great. We don't want to let that wonderful generosity go to waste. So now is the time to pledge. You've been enjoying our conversation about great moments in American history, about House of Cards. Julian Zelizer is a fabulous guest. He's a lovely speaker. He's a great historian. He's studied so many presidents, and he's really informed about what's going on politically right now and is quite bipartisan in his analysis. This hour is an example of the political programs that we do, and there are many of them. It's a great place for you to come and talk about what's going on in our democracy.
Well, take a few minutes so that you can make this hour and many more hours just like it possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You might be interested in playing a larger role in support of WPR. We have this 9XM Leadership Circle, and it's a group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs.
Now, Leadership Circle members value the compelling public radio programming that so many people in our communities rely on. They want to make sure it will be here today and tomorrow for everyone to listen to. So if you'd like to increase your support to Wisconsin Public Radio and join the 9XM Leadership Circle, you can do that right now. It's pretty simple. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is, I mean, it is Wisconsin. I moved here from another state, and that was my introduction to Wisconsin. And every day, that's how I know what's going on in Wisconsin. On a monthly basis, I'm contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. When I hear them talk about sustaining members, I realize that's me. And I kind of like that. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you feel like you're part of a family or like a community. That's how I feel every month. And even if they're just giving a small amount, they can feel that way too. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Remember, we got this dollar-for-dollar match. Now is the time for you to pledge because if you're pledging $100, it's really $200. You get that? It's a good deal for us. So please, pledge now.
Even I can multiply by two.
I know, so
I mean,
can I.
That's pretty simple. Math. I mean, for an old radio guy like me, you know, so you make that pledge. Take advantage of that match.
Yes.
It's up to $3,200. So far, we've raised just under $2,000. So we need another $1,200 to come in the door here in the next 10 minutes or so in order for us to take advantage of that match. And that makes your gift go even further. So when you do make that gift today, you'll know that it's actually twice that amount. Do it now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
There aren't many radio stations that have as a mission to inform, to inspire, and to engage listeners, but that's our mission. The values are at the very core of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, and remember, this isn't something we do for you. This is something you do for yourself and your community, because listener support is what makes all of this possible. Contribute now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Maybe you listened to WPR in school as a child or in the car with your parents, or maybe you found us on your own. However you found us, you probably would love to see Wisconsin Public Radio continue. It's an important part of Wisconsin.
Well, I know I want to see Wisconsin
Absolutely.
Public Radio continue. So, hey, you know what? If you've never given before, be a great time to do that right now. It's never too late to make that first contribution of, hey, let's say $5 a month. It's easy. Doesn't take long. Just go to WPR.org or make a phone call, 888-202-2552. I can say the number, 888-202-2552. You know what? You will feel great for supporting the station you rely on.
You support the things that make your life more meaningful, I'm sure. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. You get information about events in our region and the world. You also get music, humor, and storytelling.
Oh, that's right, Kathleen. And you know, you want a lot of news and information in the coming year. Hey, It's an election year.
Right.
Wow, that's right in our wheelhouse. Your support now is what helps make that possible. Your pledge in any amount makes a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Remember, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right NOW. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support will go twice as far.
Well, it's coming in now, Kathleen. We're going to make this. I know we will. Remember, ask for your WPR logo T-shirt with your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're not already a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's very easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, thanks a lot to David from Fitchburg, who says WPR is just about the only radio station I listen to. Well, David, what's this just about thing? Let's work on that. Well, thank you, David, for your comment. And Max from DeForest, who says, I try to listen to WPR daily. I love the blend of talk, news, and classical that I can switch to throughout the day. Whatever you want, we've got it here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Please make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're getting very close to that dollar-for-dollar match, so please call right now. Help us achieve that. It's a very important thing that happens here. It's not your run-of-the-mill hour. It's a match.
We're not playing here. We're serious.
No, we're not. We're darn serious.
That's right,
John. And your money goes twice as far.
This is a deal. It's a heck of a deal.
Pledge
now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, John, so much. Thanks to KP Whaley, who does a wonderful job producing this program. And thanks to KP Whaley, who does a wonderful job doing on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. And thank you, everyone, for pledging. This is an important hour for you to pledge so we get that wonderful double your money goal, WPR.org. Books, our favorite books, coming up.